Open your hearts. Allow God to work. Accept the Holy Spirit. And just listen to what Dr. Anthony Bonet has to say.
Brother Tony in these companies, doctors in my office. My best title is brother, but good to be back here with my home away from home at GT. And it's a blessing. Songs of praise were a blessing. And the sister song says it all. I don't really have to speak. I can just give a benediction. All I ever need is Jesus. He's my anchor. So let's pray and see what the Lord has for us. You said till the evening, so I didn't know how long has for us today. Let's pray. Dear God and our Father, we want to thank you for the time that you allow us to gather around your word. Dear Lord, allow me to decrease so that your spirit can increase and shed out and abroad in all that I would share, asking for your spirit's anointing so that each and every heart here, including your speaker, can be touched and blessed. Strengthened and encouraged, rebuked and admonished if necessary, recognizing that in any of these ways, our desire, our zeal would be that you would be more clear to each of us individually, as well as collectively, what your purpose is in our life. And if there be one or some here that don't know you as Savior, that by your Spirit, they would be convicted and yield to that conviction and come to have that precious eternal hope that many here have. For we pray in the name of your Son and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been blessed this morning, of course, always to be reminded of that body that was broken for each of our sin-sick souls. The thing that allows me to recognize how unworthy I am in and of myself, but how worthy that precious lamb is that was slain and makes me worthy. So I thank God that we always remember that. But even as I recognize how he's blessed me for eternity, I've got to look at what he needs me to do in life. And I've had some recent life changes, I'd say, in the last year and a half. My father in love went home to be with the Lord, which means I got a blessed mother in love who is totally with it, alert oriented, sharp as a tack, but has a lot of health issues. So in the midst of that, my wife and I are now running two households, for lack of a better word. We don't want her to be by herself. So her and her brother kind of flip back and forth 1 week to the next, staying with her. We don't want to be by herself at night. So in one light, we know that she's safe because one of the others there, but in another light, she gets upset because she thinks my wife should be with me. And I say, Mom, I have a big, empty, quiet, clean house. I'm good. But we're still blessed to know. That's why she's not here today, because it's her turn. But with that challenge in life, I never like to call things in life trials or problems, because believers need to recognize these things just as challenges to see how the Lord can help us out. And he's helped us out quite well. So even in that challenge, I was blessed with the challenge that some of you know of having Anthony III was born in December. So a lot of the neighbors tease me, say, yeah, Tony, your legacy continues and that type of thing. But it smacked me in life in that, in my head, I said, I don't want to be that grandfather that when he's doing something or at an event or at a game that can't get up, if it's the Lord's will, of course. So I've been practicing consciously in my head, trying to say, what can I do to try to stay young? Now, I had the same attitude when the sister was born. She's 4 now. But now, with a ear, I guess, for lack of a better word, that's why it's easy to call me Tony, because you have Tony, Anthony, and now Anthony the third. It can get confusing. But now with the third born, it just made me think a lot more about really what I need to do in my age, at the age I am now. And apparently this was a special year because I was born in 1963 and I'm 63. So they say you're 63 and 60, whatever that means. But so it just really made me start thinking, what do I have to do what I can to make sure that when this kid is 15 or 20, if the Lord doesn't take me, that I can still go up and walk and get up and shout and all those things that I look forward to. So then the Lord led me to look at people in the Bible that could do different things at different stages. And I'm just going to share with you how he's blessed me with a young man named Caleb. Not many people know about Caleb. Many people have heard of him. You know, they always know of Caleb and Joshua, you know, as a unit. But Caleb, and you know I'm always into meanings, and, you know, just as an aside nowadays, make sure you know what things really mean, because you know how the world tries to redefine everything. The word or the name Caleb means faithful. It means devoted to God. Now, here's a guy, like I said, named Caleb. There's maybe 25, 30 verses in the Bible about him. So, you know, the Bible's got tons of chapters, tons of books and verses, but only 30 reflect this gentleman. But there are blessed 30 that, recognizing who penned those words, who's the Lord, they're going to mean something. They mean something to me, and prayerfully they'll mean something to you.
Caleb here.
I'm sorry?
We have a Caleb in our
midst. Amen. So you know what your name means wherever you are, Caleb. Be faithful, be devoted. Now we called you out on it. So be ready. The elders are going to start getting after you. Be ready. But the Caleb in the Bible, primarily, if most of you know, even if you don't, we'll look at it. He was one of the 12 spies that when the children of Israel finally made it to the edge of the promised land, got instruction from the Lord through Moses to go and check the land out. And I'm going to touch some of those verses briefly. And it's first one is found in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Numbers 13, 1 through 3. And if you're flipping your pages, say amen when you found it. If not, it'll be on the prompt soon enough, which is a blessing. So, and the first verse says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And then I'm going to keep going. Verse 3 says, "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And remember, you know what? The blessing about the Bible is it's really just a family history. And we are part of that family because of Christ. So when they talk about the children of Israel, they're really talking about Jacob's children. And you know, because Jacob is Israel. Dr. Bonet is Tony, you know, same person, same flavor. And then verse 4 says, "And these were their surnames," and I'm going to end at verse 6. "Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammah, the son of Zakkur. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." So Caleb is mentioned there, and then there's 9 others that are mentioned after him. So 12 tribes were represented by each man to go check out what God's word calls the land of milk and honey. And it's interesting that they mention a few times that it's the land of milk and honey. Because if you think about it, milk is something that we all need every day. But if you let it sit too long, it's no good. So you have to get more milk. The other interesting thing is honey is the only substance on the world that never spoils. So if you have any old bottles of honey, don't throw them away. They're still good. But it's just interesting, just as a side, that this is what the land was called. Daily sustenance, but lasting forever. The land of milk and honey. So we know that Caleb was chosen. Let's look at verse 27 in the same passage. "So the 12 went out, they checked out the area, they checked out the land, and it says, and they told him," you know, they came back to Moses and Aaron, 27 says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it was flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. But then doubt creeps into the picture always whenever God tells you something is yours. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled out and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, if you don't know who Anak is, Anak's most famous descendant was Goliath. These were giants, big boys. And then they talk about other people that were there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. So they were happy. They said, you know, this is looking good here. Milk, honey, big fruits. But there's also big people there. It's going to be drama, possibly drama. I don't know what we can do. So then, as most people would start to panic, you can assume that that's what occurred because of what verse 30 says. Verse 30 says, and Caleb, the one that's faithful, the one that's devoted to God, stilled the people before Moses. So he basically said, chill, everybody. And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. So Caleb was reminded of the promise that I need to be reminded of, we each need to be reminded of. When God's make promises, they don't fail. God's promises are always true. That's why I always like that song, He's Been Faithful. Every word He's promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. Because He's faithful. So thank God that His faithfulness does not rely on our faithfulness. Because we'd all be in trouble if it was all that. But it's all about Him. So in the midst of that, Caleb was chosen. They know about the land. You know, along with Joshua, they were the only two, verse 30, that said, let's go, let's possess it, we're able to overcome it. So two said, let's go. 10 said, oh no. So then there's drama in the area. So what do we do as believers when there's drama in the area? We should trust the Lord. But what does the world focus do? They take a vote. And then what happened when they took a vote? 10 said, let's not go. 2 said, let's go. So see, that's another thing we have to remember as believers. Thank God that God's government is not a democracy. Amen. It's a theocracy where He's in charge, He sets the rules, He sets the foundation, and He makes the government plain. And His government is very plain. He gives you maximum freedom. He gives you limited restriction. But He gives you consequences if you don't go with one of His restrictions. You know, He started it in Adam and Eve. Eat of every tree. Maximum freedom. But the one in the midst, limited restriction, don't touch, don't eat it. Lest what happens if you eat it? You'll die. So that's government. That's government's job. Give you maximum freedom so that you can exercise what you want, should be exercising, recognizing that there's limitations to it. But unfortunately, instead of recognizing the one who we recognize the government being on his shoulders, who's Christ, they were looking at the general government. And then what happened? They took a vote. They didn't go in. What ended up happening for them not going in? We're going to go to Numbers, because since God is always in control, and that's another thing to remember, and I know I've said this here before, I almost say it to myself every day, because that's the kind of world we're in. Do your best not to dwell on people that think they're in charge. Keep your focus on who is in control. Amen. Keep that focus on who's in control. Look at Numbers. We're going to go to chapter 14. Verses 22 and 24. So we know what happened. The people were in an uproar. They took a vote. Moses beckoned himself for the people to God, and God basically says this. I'm going to start with verse 20. because Moses asked for a pardon. He says, and the Lord said, 14:20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, and we know that he lives forever, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me, now these 10 times have not hearkened my voice. And that's another thing. Remember the situation that they were in that they were worried about, but they forgot about the situation that God already got them through. So a lot of times God blesses us with experiences to remind us of the promise that he lets us know is going to come true. But sometimes we're short-minded, we're short-sighted, sometimes we forget. That's why, you know, God's word is a blessed area where it repeats things a lot. You know, sometimes like when you're trying to teach a kid to not do something, he does the same thing for us. If you look through every single gospel, there's always talk, every single epistle, there's always talk about being aware of false teachers, being aware of falseness here and there, remembering grace. You know, most of the epistles, they always say, grace be with you and peace. Because, you know, grace is what? That blessed gift that God gives us. But the grace of God spares us from death. So the bottom line is you can't really have peace unless you have grace. That's why I believe those epistles are addressed that way. You have the peace with God in order that you can have the peace of God. Because you're good, because you're at war with him because of sin. I was at war with him because of sin. But now we're at peace with one another because of Christ. And because I recognize what Christ has done for me. The prayer is that you recognize what he's done for you today, because that blesses you not just in time, but for eternity. But it also blesses you in time. But you got to remember his promises to be maintained in time. So that's why you got to study his word. I was thinking, every now and then when I can get out of work, I join in on Good Tidings Zoom on Tuesday nights. If you got time, join in. It's not just that Brother John is a good teacher, but the word is being taught. So there's nothing but truth in the word, and that's what we need to be, as it even says, the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. So it's a blessing that we memorize it. It's a blessing that we know things where things are found. But remember, because of salvation, our spirit is saved because we were dead in sin. But our souls are being saved. That doesn't mean there's two salvations. That means that you now have a spiritual life that you didn't have before Christ. But now you better make sure that all the corrosion is now getting cleaned out of you in time, so that you can be a picture of Christ for those that don't have eternity, to get a sense of what eternity can be like by your light. That's why God's word says we let our light shine so that others see our good works. They're dead in sin. They can't see God. But they can see you. And then they're going to question what you do. How do you tolerate that cancer treatment, which some of us have? How do you tolerate the debt that you may have put yourself in and may not have put yourself in? How do you tolerate not wanting to cut somebody off when they cut you off on the road? How do you tolerate people that just want to cut in front of you in line? How do you tolerate the challenges that naturally happen in the world system and still not necessarily have a smile, shiny face, but be focused on who's in control? And then when they see that, you show them the word. And then the word prayerfully convicts them, because we know it's the truth. And that's what you learn. Whether or not they believe it, it's the truth. And then the prayer is that they yield to that conviction. Because since we know it's the truth, we know that it can take care of everything for each of us every day, whenever you think about it. But that person still has to make a decision to accept it as truth. So if they're wrong, if I'm wrong, I've lived a good life. I could have made more money, could have had more honeys, not knowing any better. But if I'm right, where does it leave you for eternity? And that's what's important to know, the truth of God's word. Just as Caleb, faithful, devoted to God, I need to be, you need to be, if you know him as Savior, faithful and devoted to God. Because he's the one that made you for that reason and for that purpose. So really the bottom line there is, as we keep continue going on, I'm going to go to verse 30, still in 14. Well, I'll even read 29 for connection. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. So everybody in a nutshell that decided to vote the way they voted is going to die before they get to the promised land. All that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 and older, which ye have murmured against me. So they're hemming and hawing about the God that got them out of slavery, got them through a sea, got them through the wilderness, got them quail, got them manna, maintained and sustained them and kept them. Now they're at the land that he said, I promised you way back then, but they're giants there, they're bigger than us. Doubtless, 30, ye shall not come into the land concerning I swear to make you dwell therein, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye shall say should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So isn't that kind of rough for Caleb and Joshua? They had the right mindset. Caleb had the right focus, did the right thing. But you know, he wandered for 40 years too. He saw all his friends come and go. You know, he's hitting the obituaries and saying, praise the Lord, I can read it. That means I'm not in it. But he went through the same challenge, even though he was with the right promise and he voted the right way. So that's another thing that I learned, you learn, lesson, watch your vote, because you got to vote the right way. But more importantly, keep your focus on who's in control. So that's what I often tell people. I don't get into a lot of political discussions because, like I said, if it's not a theocracy, there's going to be error. But I can definitely say, commit yourself to vote, pray about your vote, vote, and remember whoever you voted for is not in control anyway. And then you can look forward and not get into these dilemmas that people get into with each other because they get so hung up on party as opposed to prophecy and what God says, and what God has planned. So now we know they wandered for 40 more years, but they made it to the promised land. Well, the next generation made it. Joshua, chapter 14, verse 6. And what was Caleb's focus? What was Caleb's attitude? What was Caleb's desire having made it to the promised land? So we're looking at chapter 14 of Joshua, verse 6. And it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, Joshua 14, 6. That's a good verse, though. Numbers 14, 6 is a blessing. It's a reminder of who we're talking. See, God always reminds you, even when you don't plan a reminder. Joshua 14, 6. Then it says, the children of Judah, because that's who Joshua represented. And remember, it's a family affair. So we're talking, I may give you a little joke on how I can remember the 12 sons of, I remember the 12 sons of Israel. Sometimes it was hard for me, but I made it easier. In medical school, you have something called a mnemonic. Those are using different symbols to remember, like there's 206 bones, there's 8 bones in the hand, and you use symbols to remember how things work. And I use my family as a mnemonic for the 12 sons of Israel. See, because my father, Victor, who many of you knew, had 4 sons, right? So usually what I do is I take Archie, who's the oldest, and George, who's the second, and Michael, who's the third, and I'm the fourth. So I just say 1, 2, 3, 4, Archie, George, Michael, Tony. 5, 6, 7, 8, Archie, George, Michael, Tony. 9, 10, 11, 12, Archie, George, Michael, Tony. So you notice who the fourth son was. Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Notice who the first son was. Reuben, little unstable. Notice who the eighth son was. Asher, you don't read much about him, but when you do read, there's one verse that talks about him raising his children well, being able to prepare princes. And then the fifth son, I won't use George and Mike since they're not here. Fifth son was Dan. Do you see Dan in Revelation? Is there a tribe dedicated to Dan? Yeah, I don't think so. I might get beat up after, so I'm going to need some of the brothers' prayer. And then, of course, the 12th son was Benjamin, son of my right hand. So that's just an easy way for you to remember it. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Then you had Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. So you can steal that if you want to remember. Brother Victor had four sons. Tony had probably, no, that's just a good. But the praise is that Caleb was the son of Jephunneh. Jephunneh, what, you know, he inherited the Judah connection through his mom, not through his dad, because his father was a Kezekite, if you read that. And, you know, the Kezekites were actually in the land, and they kicked them out. So that's another reminder just to say, even if you are not in the perfect family setting, God can still use you for his means, his glory, and his purpose. Because think about that family history. It was 12 children from one dad who had four different mothers, four different moms. But God had a plan, even though that setting was not the way we see it historically today. One husband, one wife, that type of thing. Because God uses the individual, and he can use every setting to give his name the honor and glory and praise that it deserves. So now Caleb says in verse 6, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses, aware of that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God." And you may see a recurrent theme with some of the verses when I close. Wholly followed the Lord thy God. Wholly followed the Lord thy God. Verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And lo, I am this day 85 years old." So I started this thing when I was 40, I'm 85, and I'm still here. I'm one of the two that are still here from when the instruction was given 40 years ago. And not that I'm just still here, verse 11. "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." So from my spying days to me getting closer to my dying days, I'm just as strong, if not stronger. So these are the miracles that the Lord can perform when we trust wholly in the Lord, when I trust wholly in the Lord. So when my challenges in life come, I've got to trust wholly in the Lord, because he promises an answer to every challenge. It's like the Andre Crouch song says, "If I never had a problem, then I never know God could solve them." And it just reminds me of what faith in the Lord can do. So we've got to be rooted and grounded. I've got to be rooted and grounded of my faith in the Lord, because that's what keeps me for eternity, maintains and sustains me in time, even though challenges come. Because remember, obviously 10 people, the majority won, but the population lost. But remember, other than death, they suffered everything that those people that voted the wrong way suffered. So there are times that we will vote for the truth, and we may not win the vote, and we may suffer the same way everyone suffers. We still need to be that reflection of Christ for a world that's suffering because we know who's in control. Because I know who's in control. Let's remember that. Let's keep that. And I'm as strong as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even though is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. So it's not just that he was strong, he's ready to throw down at 85. So he was equipped and prepared because he was sustained and maintained by the Lord. So he was enthusiastic about what the plan was, even though there was a 40-year delay, 45-year delay in that plan. He was still enthusiastic about what God's promises are. Are we enthusiastic about what God's promises? If I prayed to go to medical school and the Lord got me into medical school, do I get discouraged after that second year, that third year, knowing that it's 4 years? Do I have an issue with the cost of it and all that stuff? If the Lord said, I got you in, not to have you discouraged, I got you in to equip you so that you'll get out, I can be enthusiastic. Now, this is not saying I was enthusiastic, but this is why a lot of the saints here that prayed got me through. The family that prayed got me through. Some of the brothers, I won't say anything to embarrass them, when they put a few dollars in my hands, it got me through. So let's never shortchange the blessing that we need to be for one another, because it's a reflection of Christ as he's blessed us. So God kept them alive. God kept them in shape. And you have to stay in shape as best you can. Spiritually, because you're the reflection of Christ, but physically as well, because you are going to be a reflection of whatever ministry God has you in. Whatever you're doing at work, you are that reflection of Christ at work. You are that light at work. If you're not walking with Christ, you're a flickering light. You're a dim light, but you're still a light. You can't, remember, that light can't leave you if you know him and trust him and have made a decision for him as Savior. I'm just saying, I'm saying get the dust off of the light so that it shines the way that it's supposed to shine. Just like I said, your spirit is saved, your soul is saved every day as you nurture your personal self in his word so that that word is really a reflection of Christ when others see you, when they see you at work. I say it at work, at home, at school, at play, even at church. Sometimes some of our lights could be a little brighter within the ministry. No one here, obviously. But think about what God expects you to be when it comes to being that picture of him in any circumstance or any situation. Sometimes you get physical reward. There's times I'm in line at the supermarket and there's something going on with the teller and somebody's hemming and hawing in front of me. And in my heart I'm hemming and hawing, but externally I'm not. And somebody's hemming and hawing behind me. But I'm just saying, Lord, give me the peace. And he gives me the peace. And then I get up to the register. And then something happens. You know what? You're going to get 90% off your bill. Because we noticed that while people were yelling and people were cursing, you didn't even do anything. And then I can testify. Well, you know what? In my heart, I was doing something. But I have a God that gives me peace knowing that it wasn't your fault why this register didn't work. Well, what do you mean? And then you share the gospel. Now, they have a decision to make, but you have every opportunity to do what you can to share it. In my office, happens all the time. People are living in some of the most chaotic situations you can imagine. When they come in, I don't give them a tract. Their daily bread's in my waiting room, but I don't give them a tract. If they're coming in with a cold, I treat their cold. If they're coming in with pneumonia, I give them their antibiotic. So then down the line, they thank me, and I say, you thank me out of human courtesy, but I know it was only the Lord. If it were up to me, I wouldn't even give you an appointment. But I know it was the Lord that let me do what I do, that allows me to do what I do. Well, what do you mean about this Lord? What does that have to do with the antibiotic? And you know, God always gives you, even though they're human examples, decent examples to help people understand something. I says, that antibiotic treated your infection. There's something called overcoming. Overcoming something is something that comes into play that can override something that's there already. So you couldn't kill that infection on your own, but the antibiotic was able to override what the infection can do in order that you can be better. So all the issues that you have in life can be overridden if the Lord is in control of your life. Oh, I never thought about that. I says, that's what the devil does. He doesn't want you to think. He wants you to just vote like everybody else is. He wants you to hear what everybody else hears. But God says, no, listen to me. I've got all the answers. So we have to nurture our relationship with him. He was excited, as Caleb was, about his future. He kept his heart young. He kept his faith active. And Caleb and Joshua, the big difference when you think about it is that when the 10 spies went in, they were looking at the enemy compared to themselves. But who did Caleb and Joshua compare the enemy to? Their God. So we as believers have to remember that. The challenges we run into, when my money is not right, she's not here. When my honey is not right, I can compare those challenges to God and his promises and know it's going to get resolved. Because every word he's promised is true. What we think is impossible, we've seen our God do. This is why an 85-year-old guy can say, I'm stronger than I was when I was 45, and I'm ready to fight. That's the blessing that we have in knowing a Savior whose promises don't fail. So in the midst of his promises not failing, what does he ask for? Verse 12. Now therefore give unto me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day now how the Anakim, and I talked about Anak, these are all descendants of the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord says. And Joshua blessed them, 13, and gave Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And it's important to know that that's what Hebron was. Hebron, I guess in geologic terms, was probably considered the second most holy place in the Promised Land. Most holy place was Jerusalem, which we all know about. But Hebron was the second most holy because this is where all the, in the family history, this is where all the patriarchs were buried. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, they were buried there. So here it is, a guy that's half Jewish, because his dad wasn't Jewish, asked for a land at 85, where the giants are, and says, I'm going to follow the Lord's command. Remember his promise, because God said, go into that land and clear it. He told each tribe that. Only one tribe was successful in clearance, the old man's tribe. Why? Because he trusted wholly in the Lord. He was successful because he promised, he followed the Lord completely. And verse 24, excuse me, back to Numbers, verse 24 gives us a picture of that. So each person got their allotment of land. Caleb took probably one of the hardest place that had to be cleared. Well, I shouldn't say probably. It was the hardest place that had to be cleared. But what does Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 say? Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, there's that whole following fully the Lord. I will bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. And remember that thing about seed, family history, lion of the tribe of Judah. Eventually Caleb had a great, 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 great. Now I'm in the grandfather realm. Great, great, whatever, grandson named David, who eventually had a great, 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 great grandson named Jesus. So all of it has to do with not the situation and setting that you're in now, but the promises that I look at, that each of us look at, for who knows the future. And that's why life is worth the living, just because he lives. That's why, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So the songs have good harmonies and good melodies, but if they're not founded on the word, songs are worthless. I used to tell this, I think I told it here before. One of my favorite songs, simply because of melody, was a song Whitney Houston sang called Saving All My Love for You. I love that melody. Then I listened to the words. And that song is about a woman waiting for a guy to leave his wife in order that they could be together. So as much as I love that melody, I stopped singing the song. As much as I loved it, I had to stop it because it was garbage. And that's something that we have to look at, I have to look at on a day-to-day, on a regular. As a little aside, even AI. There's some positives with AI. But you know, I saw an AI a couple of weeks ago about Billy Graham denying the Trinity. Woo! Now, anybody that knows Billy Graham knows that that was garbage. But it was so nice and articulately made, if you didn't know better, you would be trapped. So we as believers have to be clear about God's word, have to know the truth, have to know the truth sets you free, and take any and everything. Because sometimes I get people that get hung up. Yeah, I saw this on YouTube, or I saw this on Facebook, and this and that. I said, oh, that's good, but always get it back to the word to confirm it's right. Gotta be confirmed. I've seen, being a doctor is another story about some of this garbage I can say you see, just like garbage with Billy Graham not believing in the Trinity. But these are some of the things that we can't take for granted. Because you remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But the world system is still Satan's. And Satan is stronger than us individually. He's stronger than us, the church, collectively, but he's not stronger than the Lord. So as long as the Lord is our reference point, we'll be good. We'll be great. We'll be perfect. But it's rooted in Numbers 24, verse 14. And that verse basically says, Numbers 14, verse 24. See? Pay attention. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit. That doesn't mean he grabbed the spirit from somewhere out of space. It means with him hath followed me fully, and I will bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Numbers 32. And I can read them, you can write them down, because you'll hear the theme. That's why I learned that. It's always good to write something down. I speak at different places, so in my phone I tend to write down the passage that I spoke from, because you hate to go to a place and you find out you spoke. Because last time I was here, I spoke on Psalms 107. But you don't want to go to a place that invites you again and speak on the same thing, except if it's the Lord's leading, of course. But in general, you want to be equipped to know what you may have shared before. Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. Surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kezite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. God's punishment of Israel. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, meaning the promised land, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And then Joshua 14, we just read, but God blesses us with repetitions to remind us of what we need to be doing, to remind me of what I need to be doing. Joshua 14, 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, Caleb said that about himself. Can you say that about yourself? The earlier ones, Moses and God said about Caleb. Can Moses and God say that about you? Can can the people say that about you? Verse 9, and Moses swore unto that day, saying, this is the people, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So really, Moses saying it was an encouragement, but what did Moses do other than just repeat what the Lord said earlier? And that's where we have to remember, our power, our strength with our words comes from the word. So it wasn't anything fancy that Moses thought up, he just repeated what the Lord said a little earlier. Verse 14, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kezite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So God just reminds us, he reminds me, let's wholly follow him. Let's not partially follow him. Let's remember in the good times to praise his name. Let's remember in the bad times to do the same. Let's remember to watch so that if someone is going through a bad time, that you are that blessing to him to remind them of what they need to do. Because remember, God has blessed us with a blessed vertical relationship with him, but he's also blessed us with a horizontal relationship with one another. And we are that picture of Christ so that the world sees the love that we show. They'll know that we are his disciples. You know, and I said, maybe not. The redwood tree is the tallest tree in the world, at least in the country. The sequoia tree is the widest tree in the world, at least in this country. Thousands of years old. How do these trees live all these years? Interestingly enough, the assumption is their root system. But it's not because of the age of their roots. It's not because of the depth of their roots. Because if you look at the research, the tree's roots don't go more than 6 to 7 feet into the ground. But they interact with the other trees so much and so well that allows them to withstand everything. So it doesn't really have to do with those particular trees, 2,500 years old, but it's because of the intricate root system that they have with the surrounding trees that allows us to actually, with a sequoia, carve a highway out of the core of the tree, and it stays for centuries. And that is what we as believers have to remember. Other than knowing the blessing that we have from above is the blessing that we have to the left and to the right. Because the root system that we interact and carve with one another is what keeps us and maintains us in time, that cleans us up in time so that others can see that picture of Christ and draw to that lost eternity that they will lose if they don't have Christ. That's why we need one another. We need prayer. And remember the blessing of prayer. It's all based on you, your situation, and your timing. And I've said this before, I know, but I have to remind myself of it too, because I'm going through life and these things happen. If the situation is wrong, God is going to say no. If the situation is right and the timing is wrong, God is going to say slow. If the situation's right, timing's right, but I'm not right, God is going to say grow. And then if all three are right, he's going to say go. So let's keep one another in prayer when it comes to situations that we find ourselves in. The timings that we are in. How you are yourself. Because how you are yourself, because of that relationship that you have with Christ. And I say claim. It's the relationship you claim to have with Christ. See, I know I'm saved. You saints only know I claim to be saved because you can't see my heart. But the blessing is the word says you will know the fruits of what they are. Now, a lot of times people get hung up, you know, we're talking about spiritual fruit. So literally, numbers are nice, but he's not talking about numbers. You know, a big congregation is nice, but that's not what he's talking about. Galatians speaks about fruit of the Spirit. So if you're nurturing godly character in your life, that is the reflection of Christ that people need to see. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. And when you look at, and that's another message, but when you look at each of those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, They are all varied manifestations of love. That's really all they are. But that's another message. But let's keep that in mind and keep that in prayer, being reminded that we are blessed because of what God has already said he's going to do. We are blessed because of the promises of his word being true. We are blessed because we have a connection with him because of Christ. We are also blessed because we have a horizontal relationship with him, with people that are supposed to have the same mind and same mindset, because we are in unity. Doesn't mean we're not in uniformity. That's why choirs don't just have sopranos. That's why when I taught the choir back in college, I just didn't teach one part. Even though I couldn't read music, I could hear parts. So I could teach alto, soprano, tenor, bass, baritone, and I couldn't even sing all parts. I could try to sing all parts, but it wouldn't work. But the reality is, if you hear any blessed song, all sung in soprano, it sounds nice. But when you hear it sound with the unity of harmony, can't touch it. Like they showed us a little earlier today. So we have to remember that it doesn't mean that everybody does the same thing the same way all the time, but it means that everybody does the same thing going toward who's in control. They have the same direction. We have the same purpose, that type of thing. But Caleb was successful because he followed the Lord completely. The prayer is that you pray for me, that I try to follow the Lord completely. I do my best to pray for you to follow the Lord completely. It doesn't mean sinlessly perfect, but it means consistent in spiritual things. Because remember what sin is. Sin can be bad, but it doesn't necessarily mean bad. Because if I tell you, hey, I just got through school and I had a 3.5 GPA, you're happy. But if in reality I could have gotten a 4.0, I've sinned. Because sin means missing the mark. Sin means miss the standard. If you hear Brother Tony wins a slam dunk contest and he's the top slam dunker in the country, and then they take a picture of me doing one of the dunks and it's only on a 6-foot rim, that's not the standard. The standard is 10 feet. So the reality is sin can be something bad. In other words, if I give a good message and I've been able to touch hearts and bless hearts, I'm thankful. But if I go home and the Lord says you could have studied more, I've sinned. Because I've fallen short of the mark that he has set. Because it's all about God's standard. It's all about God's standard. So I'm not saying bad things aren't sin, but I'm saying not only bad things are sin. It's about where our hearts are, where our minds are, when God gives us a task to complete. But I'm encouraged by a man who was 40, who voted, quote unquote, the wrong way, or the unpopular way, and saw friends. And you know, he saw family die, because remember, these are the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. So there's his first, second cousins. All these people died in the midst of them voting the wrong way. But he could still enter what God had planned for him, say, I'm better now than I was 40 years ago. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to take the toughest place to task. Because you'll see in the scripture, but I do want to close, every other tribe got screwed up in their land because they didn't get rid of the people that were there, except for Hebron, except for Caleb. So we have to remember that. When God gives us a task, let's do it to completion, because he's going to make a complete event. You know, he told the world after Noah, scatter. But what did they do? They went to one place. And they said, let's build a tower. So then he says, these people don't want to listen. They're hard-headed. Let me change all their languages. And then what did they do? After they languages got changed, they scattered. I remember Brother John, what's he doing? He was doing Pentecost. Same with Pentecost. Go into the world and preach the gospel. But God worked it out that the world came to them. And they still preached the gospel. And then they could go out and share the word. So remember, God's promises are true. God said, be fruitful and multiply, right? Replenish the earth. But sin came into the world. So he didn't change that promise, but he said, every time you replenish, it's going to hurt now. He said, you're going to still eat everything of the garden. You're going to still eat, but but now you got to work to eat. That's why, if you notice, I notice medically, sometimes when women have issues, 90% of the time it has something to do with her family, because that's where the curse started. And 90% of the time when the men have an issue, it has to do with their job. It has to do with money, because that's where the curse started. But when we as believers recognize that, we know what to seek God for, in order that because of sin, it's going to be there, but because of Christ, we can overcome it. So the prayer is that God will always be a means by which we can overcome. God will always be that antibiotic that'll kill that pneumonia. Always. Because remember, some antibiotics I give don't work. Some antibiotics, the infection is resistant to the antibiotic that I normally use, so I have to change it. But we know God never changes. So we just have to stick with what he says, his plan, his way, which is only one, his truth, which is only one, his life, which is eternal. And through that, we're blessed with what he says. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, which can be the day for you too, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's pray. Amen. Dear God, our Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you that your word continuously becomes a lamp to our feet, and is continuously a light to our path. Allow us to be focused and concentrated and unswayed and stayed on you and your word. Allow us to do what we can to be as consistent in your will as possible, recognizing or realizing that you have blessed us with eternity. You have blessed us with a guide through history. So allow us to draw eternity into history in our individual lives as becoming saints, so that we can be maintained and sustained in every circumstance or situation, but also be a reflection of Christ to all those that you would have us come in front of. Allow us to let our light so shine before men so that they can see us do good, and then through that good they can see you and give you the honor and glory. Allow us to always remember and never forget the promises that you give us, dear Lord, but allow us to study your word, so not that we forget it, so that we know exactly what they are, so that we can have peace in any storm, so that we can have shelter in any time of storm. So even in good times, we can say we praise your name. Even if it's bad, we can do the same, because in all things, we give God thanks. And it's in his name we pray with thanksgiving and praise. The Lord, your title, Jesus, your name, the one that we have a relationship with, and Christ, what you've come to serve us with as Messiah. Amen.